We had our next guest on about a year ago, and I was excited to have him back, especially in this time, to give us some sort of a history and an idea, a reminder of what happened in this incredible book that he wrote. The name of the book is Black Death at the Golden Gate, The Race to Save America from the Bubonic Plague. David Randall is the author. He's a senior reporter at Reuters. The book is the story of how the bubonic plague came to San Francisco in 1900 and how, in the face of inaction and obfuscation from local government, press, railroad barons, etc., one federal health officer and his team saved the city and contained the spread of the disease. The denial and feet-dragging of those in power when confronted with the plague resonates with our current situation, as does the racism and xenophobia that blossomed with its spread. Again, the name of the book is Black Death at the Golden Gate, and it's a pleasure to welcome David Randall back to our program. David, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
It's really nice to have you back. A year ago, we were talking about this and ancient history. But now here we are, and we look at this. I look at this book in a very different way than I did when I talked to you about it a year ago. So, what has it meant? And looking at what we can learn from what happened in 1900.
You know, I actually have the same experience. I look back at the book and I read it now in a completely different light. Everything I see is completely different concerning what's been going on. You know, one of the things I think is a big message from the book is that, you know, the real crisis was a crisis not only of science, but a crisis of trust as well. And, you know, back during the plague when it was spreading, there were really two doctors who were trying to contain the disease in San Francisco and essentially save the country, millions of people's lives. One doctor was named Joseph Kenyon. He was, a brilliant medical doctor. He in terms of laboratory science, he was probably the most brilliant doctor in the country. But one of the problems he had was that he knew so much about the disease, but he didn't know how to convince people of the danger of it. He didn't know how to convince them to change their behavior to save themselves and others. And he ultimately failed. It was only when a different doctor, whose name was Dr. Rupert Blue, came in that he really focused on building social bonds and building up trust in medical establishment. And that's when he started seeing the tide turn.
Which one is Dr. Anthony Fauci most like?
I think he's much more like Dr. Blue. He has that ability to, you know, kind of cut through whatever people's preconceptions are and get them to believe that he's not only telling them the truth, but this is something that they can act upon and they can take the actions that will, you know, in a self-interested way, save themselves. But those actions will also help their community as well.
Give us a sense when it came to the bubonic plague of the timeline of from when we first started seeing it to action was actually taken to the time where people could get back to whatever a new version of normal was.
So the plague started spreading from southeastern China in about 1870. And this is the same plague that affected Europe in 1300s and 1400s. So by the time it reached Hong Kong, about 10 million people died in China in the span of 5 years. And this was the start of globalization. This was the first time steamships could move around the world fast enough that a disease could spread relatively quickly. So it spread to India. It spread to parts of Europe. It spread to Australia. It spread to Hawaii. And then it was only a matter of time before it reached North America for the first time in history. The first known victim of plague in the United States was in San Francisco in 1900. The issue was that nobody in San Francisco wanted to believe that it was true. This was something that would devastate their economy. It would, affect all parts of daily life. And there was the issue of racism as well. You know, people in San Francisco didn't want to believe that they could catch what they considered, quote unquote, Asian disease. So the disease continued to spread. And one of the issues, too, is that it spread mostly through Chinese American immigrants. They didn't want to start alerting medical authorities to the fact that this disease was there because it seemed to confirm every negative stereotype. Nobody knows how many people truly died from this disease, but they knew that it was well into the hundreds, if not the thousands. It took at least 4 to 5 years for the disease to be contained. The disease continued to spread. There were outbreaks again in New Orleans and Los Angeles later in the 1910s and 1920s. But it was because of the fight against the bubonic plague that we started to see, many of the things we now take for granted in terms of public sanitation, public health. This is a landmark change in how we both live, our daily lives in the U.S. and how we fight infectious diseases. And it's one of those landmark battles that no one seems to remember or know about now.
You know, one of the things that really struck me in the book, and I was reading this over the weekend, refamiliarizing myself, but one of the things is that you talk about Dr. Blue and the work that was done, obviously, in San Francisco, but then they were trying to worry about the spread. One of the big concerns, of course, was New Orleans, which was the gateway for all the traffic up and down the Mississippi. Well, it may not be that now, but still, New Orleans is a major hotspot. Dr. Blue also was traveling to New York, was traveling to Philadelphia and major cities along the East Coast, many of the areas that continue to be hotspots. So we talk about how our economy and how travel and technology has changed many things, but in many ways, the areas that were the quote-unquote that are the hotspots now were of great concern then.
Exactly. And that's in many ways because the economy, in many ways it has changed. We do many more things online, everything else. But in terms of, the physical geography has not changed. If you need to ship goods in and out of this country, you're most likely going to go to San Francisco or the port of Los Angeles or New York or New Orleans. So anytime there are those intersections of travel, that's where disease is most likely to spread as well. And those are the places where it's most important to address it quickly. And when there is that type of denial in those areas, especially, it can have a much larger effect than if there was denial of an outbreak in a much more isolated area.
You touched on it in the book, but I'm just curious. What was the effect to Alcatraz and the prisons?
So Alcatraz at the time was not used as a federal prison. But one issue was that the disease was spreading incredibly quickly through prisons as well, and the issue was that they didn't want to admit that it was plague. They continued to say that this is a different form of pneumonia. This is tuberculosis. Many things as opposed to saying what it actually was. So it wasn't until there was an economic reason to admit that plague was in the city that they started to treat it as the disease it really was.
I realize a large question as we're running out of time, but you were talking about the racism, talking about the xenophobia. It obviously didn't go away, but if anything, through the decades of following World War II and at other major times in our history, and now even bringing us to today, it certainly played. It seemed to be a foundation for that xenophobia and racism, especially when it comes to Asians and Asian Americans.
Exactly. This one thing you seem to notice when there is an outbreak of a disease, it seems to highlight all of the tensions that are already existing in a society. There was very outspoken and widespread racism and bigotry towards Asians in California in early 1900s. It was anti-Asian backlash, which led to some of the first immigration laws in this country. And it was, one of the challenges for Dr. Blue to save the country, essentially, was he had to make the radical step to treat this as a disease and not an issue of racism. He had to essentially force everyone to look under the small outside layer of skin color,
right,
and look at, the actual what's happening in somebody's body. And this was a time, too, where, the idea of bacteriology and microscopes and the germ theory of disease and, these really keystones of modern medicine, this was the time when all of that was coming in. And, this was really a foundational step forward in modern medicine. It was at a time when they had to you know, combat the most terrifying disease in human history.
David Randall, the name of the book is Black Death at the Golden Gate. We're out of time, but I thank you very much for being with us. I really appreciate you being here.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.